Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're really getting into quadratic equations, not just the textbook stuff, but how they actually shape things around us.
Exactly. We're looking at Algebra 1, Unit 7.
Right, from Kittem's Florida math curriculum. It's all about unlocking the power of these equations.
Yeah, our goal today is to help you see why they have different forms, how to solve them using various methods, and, crucially, where they pop up in the real world. It's more than just knowing what they are.
Okay, let's unpack that. So by the end of this, you should feel pretty comfortable recognizing, say, standard form, factored form, vertex form.
And not just recognizing them, but understanding what each one tells you about the graph, you know?
Yeah.
What story does that form reveal?
That makes sense. It's about reading the blueprint, not just looking at it.
Exactly. And you'll see this progression, starting from just interpreting, then actually writing and solving these equations yourself.
Using tools like completing the square and the quadratic formula.
Precisely. Building that toolkit. And a really key insight here is understanding that quadratics can have, well, zero, one, or even two solutions.
Right. Which tells us something about the problem itself, doesn't it? Like, is there one answer? Or maybe none.
Or maybe two valid options. And whether those answers are nice whole numbers, rational numbers, or those irrational ones that go on forever, that tells you something about the situation's complexity, too.
You know, what I find really cool is how each form gives you a different immediate clue, like factored form.
Yeah.
It just hands you the x-intercepts, doesn't it, where the graph hits the horizontal axis?
Instantly. It's like it's direct line to the zero points of the problem.
Yeah.
Super important for things like break-even points or when a thrown object hits the ground.
Okay, and vertex form gives you the peak or the valley?
The maximum or minimum, yep.
Yeah.
Right away.
It connects back to earlier math, too, right? Like functions from grade 8?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Remember thinking about functions as inputs and outputs. Now we see how changing specific numbers in these quadratic forms, those AHK values, directly manipulates the graph.
So it shifts it left or right, up or down?
Or stretches it. Makes it skinnier or wider. It's like dials controlling the shape and position. It's a visual language, really.
Okay, so we have these forms, these blueprints. How do we actually find the solutions? What's in that toolkit you mentioned?
Well, the first tool, off of the simplest, is the zero product property.
Right, if things multiplied together equals zero, one of them has to be zero.
Sounds obvious, but it's incredibly powerful if your equation is already factored. Boom, you have the solutions.
Okay, and then completing the square. That one sounds a bit more involved.
It is, but it's quite elegant, actually. It's like a clever algebraic move where you rearrange the equation to create a perfect square trinomial.
Like x plus something 2.
Exactly like that. Once it's in that form, like x plus a 2 x b, solving it is much easier. You just take the square root.
Huh. Okay, that makes sense. But if completing the square works, why do we need the big one, the quadratic formula? Was there something completing the square couldn't handle easily?
That's a great question. Completing the square always works, technically, but sometimes the numbers get really messy, especially the coefficients. It can be cumbersome.
Ah, okay.
So the quadratic formula is basically derived from completing the square, but it's generalized. It's the master key.
The one that works for any quadratic, no matter how messy.
Any quadratic in the standard x2 plus bx plus c equals 0 form, it'll always give you the answers, whether there are 0, 1, or 2 of them. It handles everything.
That really does put it all together. It's not just abstract math then. So how does this play out in like real world scenarios, optimization and stuff?
Oh, hugely important there, especially optimization. Think about rewriting an equation into vertex form, often using completing the square to do it.
That tells you the maximum or minimum value, right?
Right, directly. So imagine tracking a thrown ball. The quadratic equation describes its path, its parabola. The vertex form pinpoints its highest point.
Okay, I see that.
Or maybe the factored form tells you exactly where it lands. Or think about a business trying to maximize profit based on production levels. Quadratics are often right there, helping find that sweet spot, that peak profit.
Wow, okay. Suddenly, physics and business problems look like algebra homework. So for someone listening, how can they keep building this understanding at home? Not just doing problems, but seeing it.
Yeah, that's key. I'd say encourage looking for the patterns. More importantly, talk about the meaning. Ask questions like, okay, we got this answer, but what does it actually tell us about the ball's flight?
Or what happens to the graph if we tweak this number here?
Exactly. Focus on that why and the real world links. Connect the abstract concepts to something tangible.
That's really solid advice for making it stick.
It is. And, you know, it gets you thinking. Beyond just projectiles and profits, how might understanding this quadratic behavior, this predictable curve, How might that help us analyze more complex things?
Like what?
Well, maybe patterns in nature, like population growth that peaks, or even how information spreads through a network. Could there be quadratic relationships hidden in those more complex systems?
Huh. That's a fascinating question to ponder, seeing the parabola in unexpected places. Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into Algebra 1 Unit 7. We hope you feel ready to tackle those quadratics.